Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
It's a big week for our guy, Kevin Kisner. He's the defending champion because they didn't have a tournament last year. So Kiz has been sort of the Tiger effect on the Masters, where he was just the Masters defending champion forever. Kiz has been the match play defending champ for a very long time. This golf course this week is awesome. I would say it's maybe my favorite to watch in terms of just how the actual golf ball. There's a hole, that par five with the bridge, where they hit it like 470 yards all the time. So I get really jacked up for this week in the match play. It's different. So we're going to get to all that. Go Bobcats. You guys know out there,
Bobcat Nation,
the result of the game, because this podcast is coming out on Tuesday, but we're, you know, speaking with one another on Monday. And tonight, the Ohio Bobcats, great state of Ohio, a lot of good golf up there, win and go to the Sweet 16, we get a little Bitcoin, or we get at least a chunk of a Bitcoin, which is worth a lot of money. So we're hard on the Ohio Bobcats right now.
OHIO. Do they do that, or is that Ohio State? Because I know when we go to Ohio State, they go OHIO. Feels like Ohio should have that.
I agree. That should be Ohio's. I mean, OSU's got OSU. I think that's where they live. They're Ohio. I would say, I don't know this, but is Ohio had to start before Ohio State?
Ohio's the oldest school in Ohio.
But it's also like when they say, what do they say, the winners get to write the history books, where if your school is so good at sports, you kind of get to dominate what the chances are.
Yeah. I'll say it's a little weird when we dip into someone's Twitter world and tweet, because we're not like tweeting properly how that crew tweets about their team and their school and their slogans and stuff. So it's a little bit weird. You try to keep it real basic. I was going to go with the Ohio thing. I think I was tweeting some of that. I don't know. It could be their biggest rivals. Fucking. So it is a little weird.
All I do is I just say roll Bobcats. I continually roll Bobbies, roll Bobcats, Bobcat Nation. I repeat those things and people seem to be okay with it.
Yeah, I'm very excited for tonight's game. I think that we have a good squad. We're facing Creighton, a 5 seed, who, that's like a good matchup. The only thing that makes me nervous is that all these other teams have already done the upset. The upset has already been committed. So who knows that we're going to get a fifth team in there. That's crazy. So we'll see. But I'm very, very, very into the Bobcats right now. I was looking
at – not only are we into the Bobcats, but it seems like the Bobcats are pretty into us. We had our guy Ben Roderick tweeting at us after the game being like, we got you guys, like, crazy. Let's play around sometime. And then he even did the hashtag Barstool Bracket Blockers. So
that's as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. So these guys are on our side. We're on their side. It's good vibes all around.
He dropped 15 points that game. The first thing he did, instead of like thanking his mother, he thanked us for tweeting about him. Biggest game of his life.
Except if you're Creighton. Creighton's on the other side. Creighton is not in favor of us rooting for Ohio.
Well, I saw Virginia because we beat UVA, and they're like, we just didn't need this year. Like, you guys are coming at us for no reason. You know, they're fucking –
just because we're a low seed? Now you hate us? What the hell is this about?
Yeah.
Dude, they're like –
They don't need it.
It's, but their careers are over. They're so sad. Their year's over, and we're just pummeling them on Twitter.
Randomly.
I got to be at these fucking just guys. Just so what random. Going
Frank
on?
And I, we got called up for the Blockers draft. Shout out Blockfolio. And we just like, we're like, I don't know. We were thinking about Ohio or North Texas, and then North Texas lost yesterday. So
huge.
We're sitting in a good spot. We're sitting in a very good spot.
All right, because we get internet money. That's the whole thing. So like, they're live. Their basketball career's over, and we're dancing because people get internet money.
Yeah, fuck potentially, yeah. Too. We don't even have it yet. We're just like, we're one step closer to maybe getting internet money. And it felt really good.
And as the more teams that win in this contest, the less we get. And there was a lot of teams that won yesterday. So, but it's still, it's exciting. We got a little skin in the game, and I'm excited for the game tonight. Like Rick said, though, when you're listening to this, you already know. So you're going to know if we're happy or sad.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that somebody's probably listening, just being like, this was all for nothing. Like these guys, they just lost.
I will eat a lot of prosciutto though. So I'm excited about that. I don't know why I've linked our Blockfolio Bracket Busters to just my consumption of Italian salty meats, but I went for it the other day and boy, was it a hit. I had a couple people over my buddy's house and he's like, go get a couple limes. I said, yeah, I'll go get a couple limes. First thing I did was go to the Italian meat section of Uncle Giuseppe's. And I fucking waited there for a half an hour and I was picking the supersade, the prosciutto di Parma. I mean, dude, he's like, how much do you want? Like a quarter of a pound. I said, give me a pound of both. He goes, you know how much a pound of prosciutto is? Like really? Because it's so thinly sliced. It took him like a half an hour to cut this fucking thing. I ate the whole thing during the game. So I will be doing that again tonight. We'll see. It'll set back my Peloton, the advancement I've made in health. It's stress eating.
There's nothing you can do. Right. You just dominate it.
You're now tying your content to prosciutto consumption, which is
as
good.
We like, roll bobbies, I roll pieces of prosciutto.
Hell yeah, brother.
So that's tonight. Again, you guys already know the result, but if they win, we get a bunch of internet money. So you should be happy for us.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I wonder what my guy Elwood is up to. Elwood the donkey.
Elwood was a little out to lunch, I would say.
I hope he is free. I hope he escaped.
He's
somehow
the least free donkey of all time.
The lady who, his handler was very sweet. She was a very nice lady. Talked a lot about energies and positive energies and letting the world flow to you and all that. So I'm hoping if he's not free that they're enjoying a nice, positive energy lifestyle. But I hope he is.
You know he's not free.
Elwood showed up in a top hat and a bow tie. You think that's a definition of free? We were hitting golf balls at him. He was kicking balls into holes.
You were hitting golf balls at him. He's definitely probably not free, but I hope he's.
You think he's put out to pasture? You think he's still with us?
How dare you?
He's definitely still with us.
Rick said wrong. He was a little bit out to lunch, and so I didn't know if sometimes life comes and goes, and I didn't know maybe he could be free in terms of he's on a field with fences grazing, but he doesn't get dressed up anymore due to lack of trust of what goes through Elwood's head.
I'm going to say that he's free.
Elwood didn't like choose to put that outfit on. It's like he just doesn't have a lot of choices. And is it a he?
Yeah. Elwood.
Anyways, Owens mixtures is great. So you can go to Amazon and get some Owens mixtures. Honda Classic. It was a little bit tough because there's March Madness going on and we just came off the Players Championship. So it's a little bit hard to be all fired up about the Honda Classic compared to everything else that was going on, especially when the leaderboard wasn't necessarily the most diabolical names of all time. And Matt Jones, second win of all time, I think it's been 7 years since his first win, came out and just blitzed the field. Probably the coolest part was his pace of play. It was one of those where that, whenever he didn't have the honor on the tee, somebody else would tee off and they legitimately had to cut from the other person's ball. Like they couldn't even watch it finish because they would miss him teeing off because he just teed off so quickly. So that was by far, I would say, the best part of the weekend. 5-stroke victory. It just was never really that close. You thought going into the bear trap last, 3 or 4 holes out there, maybe you get some fireworks, maybe you get a little drama. And he just played great golf and kind of blitzed the entire field. But again, the pace of play I thought was fantastic.
Pace of play is so interesting too, because it looks like he's setting up to take a practice swing. Like even when he dresses the ball, his club is inside the golf ball. So you're like, no, here comes like a practice swing or like an abbreviated something like trim the grass and then he hits. But no, it's inside and then he just swings at it and then off he goes. It's really remarkable. And I saw certainly there was some Twitter traction between you, Elkington, and a few others because maybe you were critical. It's like, no, you're just like kind of like saying how you feel, which is exactly what we do. But yeah, there was certainly a difference between J.B. Holmes and the way that our boy Matt Jones plays.
Matt Jones. Yeah, so
I got a little bit of pushback on my J.B. Holmes tweet, which I would say was a pretty bland, I think. It wasn't like a hot take. Right. It was just like, yeah, J.B. Holmes, like when he collapses, I've had a bad taste in my mouth about J.B. Holmes ever since the incident I believe it was Torrey Pines in the 72nd hole when he's standing in the middle of the fairway. He took like 10 minutes to decide to just lay up when his playing partner had a good chance to win the golf tournament and ended up not hitting great shots, and everyone was going nuts about pace of play. And he was right in the thick of things, pretty much him and Bryson, on being slow on the PGA Tour. So that's just a bad taste in my mouth. Pretty bland tweet to just be like, when I tune in and J.B. Holmes is 9 over par since I've had that bad taste in my mouth, I kind of dig it a little bit. That's fine. Wasn't a massive attack on the guy's career. It was just, and then I got, and Steve Elkington, I love Steve Elkington. We've had him on the show a handful of times. He is one of the funniest motherfuckers I've ever met. So I love Elk, and he's a very opinionated guy. I'm a pretty opinionated guy. So then he started going a little bit off the rails about like paying players. And I think that he thought he chirped me and was like, you still asking for tour players to give you free content? And I was like, absolutely. Of course we are. Like, that's what we do all the time. And it's actually, I would say, like a badge of honor that the players willingly work with us. They like to work with us. And then he said, just pay the players, then chirp all you want. And so I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. I don't even know what that means.
Right. I didn't find that one either.
And by the way, no. We're not going to do that.
That's not what we're going to do. And I think, you know, I put this in my tweet, but I think like the players clearly see a value in coming on. A, they either like it. They just enjoy doing stuff with us, filming videos, chatting on the podcast. It's a different type of media. It's a different platform. It's a different crew, clearly a different attitude towards golf. And B, it's definitely a calculation on their part that it grows their exposure, their brand, you know, gets them out there, gets them more fans. So that's all just obvious, I thought. So it was a little, just the paying players thing was a little weird. Let's be clear,
Elkington comes on this show for free. And that's the same reason that anyone does anything with us, to get a larger platform to get more eyeballs on them. That seems like a weird argument to make when you've been on this show. He's potentially been on this show more than any other guest. And so for him to be like, oh, well, you got to be paying these players and then they can do whatever they want. Dude, you come on here because our platform is huge and you come on and you want a little bit of that too. It's the same give and take with anybody else that we have on.
Is he just waiting on a check? Like, did he expect, like, is Elkington sitting by the fucking mail every day being like, man, I'm really, really late on this check from the Foreplay guys. I've gone on 10 times and they haven't paid me a dollar.
He is. He's just right by the mailbox. Like, man, what is with those guys? They're just never going to send this. Is it a Venmo? What is it?
By. This is insane.
Yeah, no. I like Elkington too. It's just sort of a weird hill to decide to die on when that's just how the world works.
Right. So I hate to keep saying I love Elk because I do. So it's not like ill will towards Elk. I just think that take was a little bizarre. It was not, like you said, not a hill that I was expecting anybody to die on, and not a battle I was expecting to have. I was like, paying player, what are we doing here? So hopefully that just kind of goes away.
It just didn't make a ton of sense either. Like, so once you pay them, then you can chirp them. Like, that's like the logic behind the tweet, like, which I fundamentally didn't understand either. So like, I saw the conversation kind of die off at that point, but then Elk said like, I'm done like fighting this battle. And I was like, well, I don't know the premise of the argument. Like, is the premise like you're saying like, no, once you pay them, then you can just make fun of anybody you want?
Here's what you got to do, Riggs. Next time we're at a tournament, give J.B. Holmes $5 and then be like, you're a slow playing piece of shit.
Yeah. Right. Signed, Elkington.
Yeah. That's that. This is Elk told me to do this, so I'm going to pay you $5 and then I'm going to insult how slow you play the game of golf.
All right. And then you break it down. Like, are certain insults worth a certain amount of money? You know what I mean? Like the higher the amount that you give them, are you allowed to say even more horrible things about them? Because I mean, first of all,
you guys owe Zach Johnson $10,000. Right. We all owe Bryson DeChambeau like $100,000. Like, if we're going to break it down this way, we just got to go to the people that we've been most critical and we got to start writing checks.
Can we treat it like almost like it's a strip club and we go with a bunch of singles next time we go to a tournament and just start firing singles at guys and chirping them when we walk down the range?
You're fat. You're slow. You're annoying. Nobody likes that outfit. It's just like they can't complain.
Such a weird premise.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre. It was a little bizarre. And again, I'm sure J.B. Holmes is a nice enough guy. I saw Kip Henley, who, you know, caddied on tour for a long time, Austin Cook for a while. He was with Vijay Singh for a while. He's been on the show before, I believe, multiple times as well. And he was kind of chirping that, like, this is a horrible take about. So we'd love to have JB Holmes on the show. JB Holmes wants to come on this show right here. Happy to talk to him.
Dude, it's the same as anything else on in any other avenue where if you're on Twitter, it's jokes. Like, everything we do on Twitter is a fucking joke. Like, I tweet The Bachelor. I say crazy shit about everybody on the show. Those are jokes. Frankie says the thing about Abraham Answer at the President's Cup. Then he comes on the show and we have a good laugh about it. Riggs talks about JB Holmes, you know, that, which is a take that everyone has on JB Holmes. Like you're saying, Riggs, right. It's a pretty standard take on JB Holmes. And like, if JB Holmes came on the show, we'd bust his balls about that. We'd laugh about it. And then we'd get actual cool information about his life and how he plays golf and how he got involved. Like, it's all the same thing. So to just pick that tweet randomly on a random Sunday and then be like, oh, well, then you got to pay these players if you're going to talk shit about them. It makes no sense to anyone.
Yeah, I tweeted that out and I was busy for like a half hour. I looked at my phone, I looked at Twitter, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. I was, what's going on here? Like, what are these reactions? Because it's just a pretty common, like, that's how people feel about JB. It's fine. It's not that crazy. It wasn't a vicious attack. So yeah, the whole thing was a little bizarre. I'm sure, hopefully we don't have to pay him, but we'd like to get JB Holmes on at some point and, you know, chat through it. I'm sure he's a nice enough fella, and I'm sure we'd end up loving him at the end of it. So that's the JB Holmes saga.
Did you guys see Adam Scott on Thursday when he made that par save out of the water, like the little pond there, and he rolled his fucking pants up, took like a half an hour to get undressed. It was so like, it was almost like Gustavo Fring getting ready to cut that guy's throat open. He was like so slowly rolling up the pants. He took the glove off. He covered his jacket up and he zipped it up and slowly walked into the water and fucking made an up and down. One of the craziest pars I've ever seen. The only reason I bring that up is because that's a move I've always wanted to do, is to just step in the water and hit a shot. I wanted to do it when we were in Nevada. I asked, like, can I do that? And I was like, nah, you're not getting in there. But the reason why I wish I could do it is because you need to have those legs to be able to pull that off, right? Like,
when I'm thinking an alligator might see you and think you're a flamingo with those dainty little legs going
100%. Because, like, the good thing about wearing pants is you cover up your legs, and that exposes it. When you do the roll up, it exposes the calves more than shorts because everything else is tight, and you just, like, you need to have some sort of definition. I mean, Adam Scott's legs were maybe the most beautiful legs I've ever seen in my entire life, and he was just waiting for any opportunity to roll those things up and show them. So shout out to Adam Scott for looking incredible as usual. I mean, he's one of the hottest guys on tour. That's no question.
He's hot. He's a hot guy.
And making that up and down, I thought that was a phenomenal, phenomenal clip on Twitter.
Yeah, you're only doing that if you're an Adonis. If you've got the body to do it. Like, Phil is Phil an Adonis.
Okay. What is that?
Is it Greek? It's I don't know the definition of Adonis.
Did you mean Giannis?
No, not the basketball player. Adonis. Do you guys know the when people say Adonis?
If you're an Adonis.
Yeah, I just assumed it was Greek and some like mythical feature.
Read it off. If you got
super. It. I'm trying to find it.
Jake Bass says it's the.
What was it, Riggs?
The god of beauty and desire.
Okay.
Yep.
Greek god. So
there you go. Put that one in your quiver, Frank.
Love it.
Okay.
Frankie can't put that in a sentence. That would be a mess if all of a sudden Frankie's in a bar with his buddies and he drops an Adonis.
It's going to be a mess every time.
Like, get the hell out of here.
I'll tell you what. We recording? We were talking about cup of coffee. Frankie's been working in the cup of coffee saying, and it did take him a few tries to fully understand it. So there's going to be a couple misses with Adonis, but when you nail it, people are going to be very impressed. But my point was, is that like Phil or Adam Scott, they're going to be quick to roll up those pant legs because they got great legs.
The next Islander game, Frankie's probably going to tweet Adonis like 100 times about all the players.
100%.
And if one of them hits, it hits. So good luck, Frankie. I'm rooting for you.
Appreciate that.
Hold on. Before you move on, Riggs, to another topic, did you see Matt Jones and his like training practice of chipping to putting? Did you see this?
No.
So he's been a really good chipper with like good tempo, but his putting wasn't great. So he was holding both like a wedge and a putter at the same time, looking down at the wedge and putting with it to get a sense of the tempo, and then switching to his putter face. So does this make sense at all? So there's a ball on the green. He's holding his wedge and his putter down, looking at the wedge to get a sense of the tempo, and putting with the blade of it, like much of the way people do it. And then trying to re-mimic that and putting his putter to the ball and now recreating that same tempo, which I thought was a very interesting training tactic that obviously paid off. But it was like just, I don't know, the power of visually in the mind and looking down at the wedge, which you feel more comfortable with, mimicking that tempo, and then quickly going to the putter face, looking down at that and trying to recreate the same thing, which I've never seen anybody hold two clubs at once and get a sense of that. So I was wondering if you guys did as well.
Is that something you might try there, Frank? You're going to put that one in the rotation too?
Well, the thing that that sticks out to me when you say that is that I just don't care enough about putting as much as I should. I just, you know, like I just need to practice all that stuff more. And I think it's very evident after 4 years of being, you know, on camera with hitting golf shots and whatever, however long it's been, that I need to start doing shit. Because if Matt Jones is up there winning golf tournaments, holding two clubs, trying to get, I can't tell you the last time I thought about the tempo of my putter stroke. Can't tell you the last time. It's, I never have.
And that's surprising because it's the one thing you can practice at home. Like,
oh, we I do always practice it, but I don't think about it.
Okay, yeah. Because
I'll
say,
go on the practice perfect practice putting mat and I'll knock in 100 putts, but I'm not actually thinking about anything.
Right, because we always say, like, it's hard for us to get that much better when every time we play golf, we're playing golf. We're not going to the driving range. We're not going around. We're not chipping and putting. But, yeah, when you do the perfect practice putting mat, yep, then you, like, you got to think about it. You can do it mindlessly if you're, like, on the phone talking to somebody mindlessly. But if you think about it, I think it's so easy to just practice and improve upon.
There was a great tidbit in Hank Haney's book about working with Tiger where he talked about when they would really work on something in the range, Tiger a lot of times would hit three or four balls working, and he would go sit in the cart and just think about what they were working on because he genuinely needed to, like, comprehend and put full thought into what they were doing for him to actually get it. Where we, like Trent just said, I mean, it is the most mindless attempt at practice that you can possibly have.
Dude, there's
nothing going on up there.
Bro, well, Trent, go ahead, because I may take this a little off topic.
You know, it's like when you're reading a book and you'll read an entire page, but you're not actually reading it, and you'll think about, like, what did I just read? And if someone asks you a question about the last page, you wouldn't be able to answer it. But once you really focus and you're reading, then your reading comprehension improves. I think the same is with putting. If you're just mindlessly, you know, whacking at the ball on your putting mat, then it's not going to matter. But if you're actually paying attention, that's where the improvement comes.
So we all hit golf shots and we just do it. We've always said that. Like, we just take a swing and wherever the ball goes, it goes. And someone messaged me. So I played golf yesterday. It was like 60 degrees in New York. I actually played Deepdale, which is like one of these, I think they call it the Billionaires Club. There's like 200 members. I think they get like 40 guys playing at most is like the busiest day. And like all these guys helicopter in. It's just an awesome place to be. It was, so it was really cool to play this right by my house. Never played it. And, you know, I'm excited to play Deepdale. I'm fucking whatever. I'm getting going. I haven't played since we played in the fucking mountains of Nevada. So I was excited to play Northeast golf again. And someone messaged me just before I got up to the tee box on Twitter. And they were like, hey, man, like, I've watched hours of your swing, and which was scary. But I've watched
here
hours
comes the haymaker if someone starts with that.
And he goes, I want to tell you something. Your pre-shot waggle, the little thing you do with your wrist, is the number one reason why you're inconsistent with your irons. You're creating tension in your wrists and your fingers prior to taking the club back, and it's near impossible to have a consistent and confident coming through the ball swing with that pre-shot waggle. So he says, when you address the ball, it was a long message. When you address the ball, just relax for that like 1 or 2 seconds. Don't do anything and then take it back. So now I'm we didn't get to hit the range or anything. So I'm like, what the fuck? Like, so I'm now for the first time to bring it back to, you know, the Matt Jones thing, I'm thinking, I'm like looking down at the, I'm like, what do I do? So my first swing with an iron, I just like went limp. Like I was just like fucking loosey goosey. And I just fucking sprayed one like 1,000 feet left. Like I just couldn't believe I even tried that. And it just goes to show that like when I'm sure that there is some sort of truth to that, right? Where like you need to have soft hands. You don't want to be too tense. And I guess his thought of like never being consistent when your fingers are all fucking tight and you're moving your wrist. I guess that makes sense. You can't think of shit like that when you're us, though. You can't. No.
I would say also, like, maybe your body isn't, like, doesn't tense up in that way. And you, since you're so little and, like, you know, fundamentally, when you're weak, you need to get the blood flow. So maybe that helps get your body moving.
Right. And you know, I go back,
I don't
like,
know. I think everybody's different.
Like, Bryson does a, you want to talk about a waggle?
Right. Right.
Bryson's like, come on, I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And he fucking hits balls 400 yards.
Dude, I also would say, like, the waggle typically, I think, is encouraged because it releases, like, it gets movement going and it actually eases the tension. Like, if you're standing there dead solid, dude, like, are you like a fucking block of wood? Like, how are you supposed to then swing like a nice fluid swing? Like, I think I'm thinking like Tom Watson with a nice waggle. Jason Duffy had a great
Tiger
waggle.
Woods like, does yeah. a little Tiger Woods does a little the little fucking, one. Oh, you ever heard of him? I mean, come on, dude. I literally stood over my ball. I didn't move an inch and I did this like Gumby loose swing. I went, it just fucking barely went anywhere. And everyone was like, whoa. Like when I took the swing, I'm like, I just write something on Twitter. I, you know, it's just, I can't think. I would can't say do that, I can't do the Matt Jones. I just got to play.
Well, the craziest thing I think in this whole story is that you on the first tee looked at Twitter and then made a fundamental swing change to your game. That's actually a pretty good golf game. You read one thing on Twitter, which is 99.9% lies. And you just put that into the billionaires club before you teed off, which is, I'm sure, just an incredibly nice golf course.
Yeah.
You bring up an interesting point. Do you think we are the recipients of the most golf tips of all time of 100%, any golfers?
100%.
Like, because maybe we're not number one, but we're certainly in the top 10. We're now in an era where we're very accessible. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram, and people watch our golf swings all the time. And I would say we're at least in the top 10 of most golf tips given in the history of the game.
And golf's a game that, like, just you give tips. Like, everyone thinks they're the best. They think they're better than you, and they know the game better than you do, so they're going to give you a tip and get you to a higher level of golf. That's what every single person that watches us thinks, and then some of them actually act and send the message. So, yeah, I think it's 100% we get the most tips. I mean, our DMs are flooded every time we put up a video with our fucking swing thoughts, our swing tips, the whole thing.
And I'm not even some of them, like, there's a percentage of them that are, like, mean, but some of them are genuine tips that they want. Like, I think the one that guy gave you about the waggle, that's a genuine tip because he wants you to be better at golf.
100%.
And people are trying to be nice.
I read it, and I acted upon it.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, how do you just ignore that? Like, the guys, like, I've watched hours upon hours of your swing. I'm noticing one outlier. It's like right before your swing, your waggle's different, it's tense, you're moving your wrist. He goes, just like, let's calm it down, calm the tension. I'm like, all right, dude, let's go steve1207@hotmail.com.
but to put that in your swing with no guidance of what that's going to do or anything is crazy. Like, at least you know with the waggle, like, what you're going to get out of your game. All of a sudden now you're just taking that tip.
But when the guy frames it like, hey, Frankie, all you got to do is just get rid of that waggle and you're just going to be sick. Frankie's like, oh, hell yeah. Like, no problem.
Dude, standing, like, sitting in the cart, like, looking at my phone, getting ready to go up to the first tee, I'm like, oh, this is, like, this makes sense. Until I approached the ball, did it not feel ridiculous?
Also, you didn't waggle, but then you just did a limp swing. So you didn't even do the same
thing. When you said loosen up the hands to me, I'm thinking, because same thing like when you say, like, you guys got to swing 37% of your, like, or like the speed has to be on the downswing. All these things make no sense to me. So when you tell me loose hands at approach of the ball, I'm thinking I'm barely holding on to this club, which is what I did.
Yeah, the soft grip, like, thing always. When someone's like, don't squeeze the club too hard, you're like, sorry.
Remember, Kiz told you the fastest part of your swing needs to be right when, like, the club makes contact with the ball. And Frankie's like, well, now, hold on. you're trying to figure that out. And it just messed you up so bad. That was when you bladed one or topped one into the lake at Palmetto.
Said it right before the first tee. Worst first tee shot I've ever hit.
Frankie only almost guy to hit it. Frankie almost fucked my entire swing up at Sand Hollow. You remember when we were on the driving range? And you've been doing that abbreviated follow through with your irons, and you just fucking strike the ball when you do that. Yeah. And you're still a little, you know, hesitant to bring it to the actual course. But you told me to do it right before we went out, and we were playing a match against each other, and it just – I thought it was going to ruin my whole fucking day. Actually, ended up playing pretty well. But in that moment, I was like, Frank, you just ruined my golf swing.
You've been hitting great iron shots. Like, so there was no reason for me to say anything. But I was absolutely hitting piss missiles on this driving range, doing this abbreviated follow through. So at the Kingdom, the guy taught me, just try and stop the club mentally. Try and stop the club right after you make contact. And it was teaching me to finally come down on the ball, take divots, get that better launch angle. And when you see a video, I think I'm stopping the club right after. But when you see a video, I'm coming through it. It's a beautiful swing. It's a beautiful swing. I just haven't gotten used to it enough, like knowing where it's going to go, how hard do I have to swing. So I haven't really used it on the golf course. But I was hitting it so well that Trent was like, man, those things are so good. I'm like, dude, try it once. Just try the fucking abbreviated follow through. And you striped your first one. You hit a 7-9, like 185 yards right down the middle. And we were like, oh, my God. Your next five swings, you hit 5 inches behind the ball, and the ball barely got off the driving range pad. Like, we didn't even come close to where you were hitting the ball. So then you got to the first tee. You're like, I'm done. Game over. Golf's over.
Those were the last five swings. It was the last minute we were on the driving range. We were doing it. And as soon as I topped or you know, chunked my fifth one in a row, we're like, all right, let's head to the first tee. I was like, well, I'm dead. I'm a dead guy now. But well, I put it together. But you're right, though. Because you had me take a video of your abbreviated swing, because you thought you were stopping right after you hit it. And you do. You end up going pretty high, but it doesn't feel that way.
It's amazing when golf teachers and pros tell you to do something mentally. Like, I'll always remember when I played in high school golf, when I had two good shoulders, I was able to, I did the John Daly swing. Like, no joke. I'd always be able to see. And that must be stunning to people listening and who watch our stuff, because now I have a shorter backswing than Tony Finau. It's insane. But that's because of my shoulders. I'm not kidding. I used to see my club face in my backswing, and I would just fucking go through it, and I'd have a little baby fade, and it would be I'd play it. I'd play it out to the right, and it'd come back. It was awesome.
I can't even imagine.
And now, let me just clear this up. And now, so I had one teacher at Eisenhower Park Golf Course tell me, I had one lesson my whole life up until every single golf pro that we've ever met gives me a lesson. I had one lesson. The guy said, mentally swing 50%. So I'm like, what does that even mean? So I do it. And then he shows me the video, and it's fucking, and he like matches it up to like where Tiger is on his little fucking thing. He's like, you're right there. Like, that's your 50%. You're perfect. You're 100% of the correct swing. So when you do that mental stuff, like stop the club face after impact, you think like, oh, I'm going to look fucking ridiculous stopping right here. It's like, no, dude, look at the video. You're all the way up here. You're insane. It's all mental.
Dude, the feel versus real part of golf is shocking. And when you actually see stuff, and like when Butch was talking about how they, you know, he had to like mail and FedEx videos to Tiger of like, you know, stuff about his swing, because you can't, until you see it, you don't believe it. You're like, no, that's not, like, what you're saying is wrong. Then you look at it like, oh my God, 50% is like a full golf swing. Or when you feel like you're sawing it off, and it's like, no, that's just a pretty full follow through. So the whole feel versus real thing in golf, and how true it always is, and how different your swing looks compared to what you actually think. Like Jim Furyk says that. He's like, no, my backswing, I think my backswing looks like Tiger Woods. Like, it just feels like I'm swinging like Tiger Woods, but I'm swinging like Jim Furyk.
Yeah, it's great. Really, it's crazy.
And it's really, the bottom line is, it's really impressive that we even know how to hold a golf club with all the tips we get all the time. The fact that we're not just on the first tee and we forget even where to stand is an impressive upon us. So good on us.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Ricky Fowler, class act, as always. He took a serious Ricky Shea shot last week from Sir Nick Faldo, who just out of the clouds, somebody was tweeting about how Ricky's not going to get into the Masters for the first time. And Sir Nick just quote tweeted and said, good news, if he misses the Masters, he can shoot another 6 commercials that week.
Yikes.
Heater.
Out of the clouds. And I mean, if you really think about that, I mean, that it's like Jim Nantz just like roasting somebody on Twitter. Like, this is, fuck. He commentates the match. Like, that's what he does. He calls the Masters and just taking it out of the cloud shot at Ricky. They asked Ricky about it multiple times this past week, and he finally did address it. And he took the high road like he always does. He says, no, I know where Nick was trying to come from on that. He essentially said, you know, it's competitor to competitor. You're trying to needle each other and get each other going type of thing. I'm fortunate enough to have great partners, make some great commercials. It's been fun to be able to do that. I would much rather be playing the week of the Masters than working, but it's all part of it. I'm going to keep kicking down the door. If we're able to do something special in the next few weeks before Augusta, we will be there. If not, we'll keep grinding and we'll be back in the winner's circle soon. So Ricky just took, you know, the classiest high road that you possibly can, which I think he comes out looking like the real winner in this one.
I think the further we get down this road with Nick Faldo, and by that I mean the older he gets, the more interesting it's going to get. He, like, we all know, we know Nick Faldo. We interviewed him at Borelli's, and he's a very interesting guy, and he's a very opinionated guy. That was. He's also a guy who, what's up?
What a ridiculous day that was. Like, the fact that you just said that is such a fake life funny thing.
He was just sitting there. He had dinner first at Borelli's, and then we interviewed him like in one of the rooms.
Fucking Nick Faldo, yeah.
We just but, like, drank scotch, and then you guys tried to get your Imagine Dragons quotes in.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
That's right. When we were interviewing him, we tried to say as many Imagine Dragons songs as we could in our questions. I think we got like 13 or 14.
Yeah, if you guys want to go back and listen, every time Trent and I speak during that interview, we try and get a title of an Imagine Dragons song in there.
So it was, you know, I had in front of me like the outline for the interview, and then in front of Trent and Frankie, each one of them just had Imagine Dragons Spotify up, and yes, they were just going through the song titles, trying to get them into their sentences.
Any reason that you picked Imagine Dragons? Like, why that group versus another?
Yes, because Nick Faldo references Imagine Dragons during his Masters. That's right. The win with Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed won, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Was,
welcome to the new age. Welcome to the new age, he said when Patrick Reed putted out on 18. And it was like, or maybe Nance said it. I can't.
Somehow, oh, it was Nick him.
Fowler, yeah. Nick Fowler got wrapped into saying imagine something about Imagine Dragons when Patrick Reed was walking down the 18th fairway at Augusta. And we just, it just became like a thing. And we tried to work in as many titles as we could.
That's right.
Dude, at one point, he goes, I didn't want to drink the scotch. And I'm like, no, that stuff's radioactive to me. And that's when I really thought we got caught there. But he didn't pick up on it.
But he is a guy, to that point, who kind of lives in his own world a little bit. And I just think that he, like, when he says something like that about Ricky, I think he just thinks that it's funny and it's like, it is what it is. Like, I think we're going to get a lot more of that from Nick Faldo as the years carry on, is my point.
Okay, I like that. I mean, there was a stretch, people might forget, where just every day Nick Faldo just roasted me on Twitter for just every day for like months. He just would chirp me all the time. So, and then I sat in at Pinehurst at the Deuce, and he just like made fun of me and said that I sucked the whole time when we interviewed him. So Sir Nick is, you're like you said, Trent, we got an interesting history with him. He is quite the character, and I think he is just continuing to be more and more interesting, we'll call it. And like firing a shot out of the clouds at Ricky Fowler is something that I do want more of, even though I think Ricky looks way better here. But I want more of it from certain.
Actually, what his tweet says is, I don't know if necessarily everyone would agree with it, but it's true to a degree. No, like Ricky Fowler is very brand positive. He's very popular with the brands. He's very popular in the general public. Kids love him. You know, adults love him. Like, he is very much in that. He's in a lot of commercials, and he just hasn't been playing well recently. So yeah, it's a fucked up ricochet shot to give him, but it's not necessarily 100% inaccurate.
No, I think it's very accurate, but it just was so, like, there was no reason for him to just Do you like that clearly just crossed his mind when he saw it? And he gets like, it's almost to me, it showed maybe that like Faldo didn't do all of that crap. Like, right. He was pretty locked in his own world. He focused, he played golf. He was known as being like Nick Faldo's in Nick Faldo's world. And that's sort of what he does. So then he's got somebody else who does pretty much the exact opposite. Like Ricky is everywhere. And I imagine like it is a little weird on the weekends, like when Ricky misses the cut and his commercials are just all over the place. Like you get that with a few different golfers when they miss the cut. But when it happens to Ricky and when he has kind of the reputation of getting chirped for being like overrated and not winning enough, and they had the players poll a few years ago, I believe it was, which, or maybe it was 2015, right before he won the Players Championship, when he was voted as like the number one or number two most like overrated player by his peers. So clearly Ricky's got that history. But you're right. It wasn't like inappropriate, and I'm glad that Ricky didn't take it as a vicious attack. He sort of just brushed it off as like, oh yeah, just guys kind of chirping.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He could be making a larger point about like what's really important to this generation of golfers. Is it getting all these deals and making a ton of money and being in commercials, or is it winning major championships? Like, which one is it? It's an interesting look into Nick Faldo's brain.
Yeah, it'd also be interesting too, yeah. Like, in the private area, like when they see each other, does Ricky be like, yo, Nick, like Sir Nick, that was like, what the fuck was that? You know what I mean? Just yeah. Like what that banter is. But Frankie, what were you going
to
say?
I think to Trent's question, like that crew, I think very much cares about results. I think once you have some results, I think it's very tight knit community of like, who's the better guy out of that crew? Like JT, you got that whole entire, I mean, the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, like no one wants to be worse Smiley than Kaufman. The other guy, Smiley Kaufman, rest in peace. No one wants to be the worst guy out of that crew. Like JT's running away with it. Like you wouldn't believe right now. But I think it's got, like, we've talked about Ricky at length on this fucking show. And I think that chirp from Nick Faldo definitely hits him in spots that he's like, this motherfucker, like, yeah, I do want to fucking win. I don't care about the commercials anymore. I've worn the orange shirt for like 10 years now. I've done that. First, we got to get that guy away from Puma. He's like, he's going to be 40 years old rocking a fucking orange popsicle jumpsuit, like for the kids. Like, let's get this guy into something like a little more adult like, and then maybe it'll change his game. But that's another point for another day.
Just another ricochet shot at the guy with Ricky.
It's just like
it was trying to be nice to him, and then finished with just stepping on his head. As
you know what though, I don't disagree with that. It's like when a baseball player, or basketball player gets traded somewhere else, and it's a nice change of scenery, and they end up having the best season of their career.
No.
Like I do think he's caught in this mode. You almost need him. You almost need a heel turn from Ricky Fowler, where he turns into the bad guy, and all the sponsors fucking drop him because he's going off the handle in interviews, like. We've been in this lane for so long, and he's very comfortable in that lane where I'm the likable guy. I wear orange on Sundays. Look at me, that I can make a commercial for you. It almost, he needs a bit more of an edge, and maybe that'll give him the winning edge too.
He has when he was growing up, he was like Zac Efron-y, right? With the hair and he had the looks. It's just like when Zac Efron was in High School Musical, right? And he was like the kid and all like the little girls liked him and all this stuff. And then Zac Efron became a fucking sex god and like has awesome fucking blonde hair and fucking, he changed his demeanor. Like I'm not the fucking kid that was in High School Musical anymore. Ricky Fowler is still the guy bouncing the basketball, singing fucking High School Musical songs. He's walking down the 18th fairway at Augusta National in a popsicle outfit with a fucking big P on his hat and all the little kids like Ricky, like they're going crazy. Like, no, dude, you want panty droppers at this point. Like you're in your 30s. Like you're going into like the prime of what should be your career. Like let's fucking change the outfit a little bit. I think that would go a long way. A massive overhaul for Ricky Fowler. Start calling him Rick.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Slick Rick.
Oh, dude, get like slick back hair, fucking black hat.
Dude, I honestly could not agree more with that.
If you want to stick with Puma, like make him like the black Puma or something, you know?
It's
like,
a very good point. It's a like, very good point because he gets a little bit of the Rory where it's like he doesn't seem to have that edge. He seems to be kind of content a little bit. Obviously, he doesn't have the resume that Rory has, but he's also a fucking mega star. Like when we go to tournaments, what is he, a top three? It's like Tiger, Phil, Ricky, Rory. Like who else? Who else is in there in terms of fandom? He is a megastar.
It has nothing to do with his play.
Nothing.
Like at
I mean,
this
very
point,
little, right? Like very
right.
little.
Well, the players. I mean, at some point, like it has very little to do with his current abilities to win golf tournaments because he's not doing that. So his status, his commercials, his money continues to go up because of this Mickey Mouse Disneyland fucking thing. But his play goes down. So at some point, it's like, hey, thank you, Orange Popsicle, for getting me to where I am. But I need to put you in the corner now, and I need to now get this chart of winning and productivity up. And I think it directly correlates with the color of his shirt. As crazy as that sounds, I think it directly correlates with his whole entire demeanor.
He should just come out and murdered out outfits from now on.
Oh, that's God, just... that would be – and call Slick Rick, bro. Fuck.
Dude, that would be – please let that happen. I know – he probably loves the spot that he's in right now. Well, he might not, though. Like, he might be in this prison of, like, corporate positivity where he's just like, yeah, it's great that my bank account is massive and I'm brand safe. But, like, who gives a fuck about that if you're not winning any golf tournaments or even coming close to winning golf tournaments?
It's just got to get to him, man. Walking around your peers, all your buddies, like his best buddies are just fucking killing it, right? Like you just have to want to win. You know he wants to win. That's why he's Ricky Fowler. We talk about how hard it is to get to where these guys are in the first place. They're the best in the world. You think like they're only out there for a fucking check and some coin? No. They want to win. That's why they got there in the first place. This guy needs a fucking brand overhaul. I'll give it
crazy.
To
him. Like we just spoke about how Ricky's probably agrees like a top five biggest star at pretty much at any golf tournament. And he hasn't won a tournament in over 2 years. And he's since September 2015, he's won twice. So it's been pretty much 6 years. He's gotten two wins and he is a megastar in the world of golf. So
he's again, on the same trajectory as Matt Jones.
What's his world
Matt
golf?
Jones has won right twice now, in like 7 years.
I want to say he's like 81st or something like that.
Jesus, that is just a slip. Yeah, 81. You're spot on.
I gotta say, 81 is higher than I would have thought.
Really?
Higher well, which healthy. Way? This is always tricky. Higher which way?
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's tricky.
Oh fuck.
Lower or higher?
A higher number, but.
Yeah. I thought he would have been lower.
No, it's higher.
But lower, like, in the rankings or lower numerically?
Lower in the rankings.
You think he'd go from 81 to 82 or 81 to 80?
My brain hurts. 81 to 82.
So that's got
to
be.
You thought he was going to be closer to, like, 100? Or what did you mean?
Yes.
That's what I meant. Yep.
Okay.
So that's got to
so
be
you were talking
lower.
About it in the right way. You were talking about it in the right way of, like, golf rankings. That would be higher. If you thought he would be lower, then you would think closer to one.
No, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's
right. If somebody says you're higher in the rankings,
yeah, right.
I think that means
I'm
you're
wrong.
Like number one.
Like, think about it this way. We're in the middle of March Madness. We're in the middle of March Madness right now. A lower seed is what?
No. I'm out. I was wrong. You're right. I don't want to talk about it.
What is a lower seed?
Wait, now I think it's the other way.
Yeah, a lower seed.
A lower seed is like a two.
Nope, that's wrong.
No, they say the higher seed won.
The higher seed is closer to one.
Dude, I think
no. Come on, what really?
Like tonight, Ohio's the lower seed.
Correct.
No, higher seed.
Nope,
higher seed.
They're the lower seed.
I think they're the higher seed.
Oh, fuck!
I think as people, we foul this up in just a continual basis.
This came on the wrong day, too. Did you guys see that UFO shit?
Oh, God.
Tell me you saw that.
Frankie's stressing looking down at this article.
Dude, this fucking guy. The Pentagon.
Tell me about the UFO.
Pentagon report is coming out about UFOs. So John Ratcliffe was the top intelligence official under former President Donald Trump. And he's just like talking about what he saw. And it's, I mean, the guy is a normal, it's not like he's a senile old man.
he's saying like these are things that are going to come out, official government data that they have to release. Apparently, a part of the bill to pass the latest stimulus check was that the government has to release all the information they have about aliens. It was like snuck into this. It was snuck into
the
same bill.
They just shove things into those bills. It's really something.
A forthcoming government report will reveal evidence of UFOs breaking the sound barrier without a sonic boom and other quote unquote difficult to explain phenomena, the former director of National Intelligence said. Holy fuck. There are a lot more sightings than have been made public. And when we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by multiple satellite imagery that frankly engage in actions that are difficult to explain. I mean, boys, this is tough. This is it.
I actually thought about you the other day in something else. What was your line about the moon? We only see one side of it or whatever? Because this thing is up like in the middle of the day. The moon is like directly above me. And I can't believe that's true.
And they say we only see one side of the moon from Earth. It rotates with us. You never see the other side.
Yeah, it's amazing that Lurch is still trying to be correct about this.
Well, no, I'm not saying if you're correct. In Asia, you could see the other side of the moon.
That was
remember
so
that?
Tough, dude.
That was, well, whatever. But when I see it at night, and then I also see it at noon, and I see the moon it sends me into
same side, bro, every time. Lying to you.
That can't be true.
It is. Same craters.
Oh, man.
We got to get somebody on who's knowledgeable in this area, who's a thought leader.
Dude, a leader in the thought space? It's literally it's a fact. Have we talked about – we talked about on KSU Radio. We talked about it in the car. Did we talk about how aliens just missed us? Yeah. Did we talk about that on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's something that really needs to start.
We didn't. Right. I don't think we talked about it on the show. I think we talked about it driving out to Wolf Creek or maybe Sand Hollow.
It was Sand Hollow, and we talked about it on KC Radio, but we did not talk about it on this program.
I don't even know if that's true because I feel like we talked about it so much. But I will just bring it up again. The fact, and this may be the best alien talk that we can possibly come up with, where I think the most listeners. This will be where the listeners finally are like, all right, Frankie made a good point. And that's not even my point. I think Barstool Chief is the one who brought me onto this. It's the fact that you talk about how and I'm going to throw a number out there, and I'm always, I could be way off by billions of years, but the Earth is what, 6 billion years old?
I think you're close. It's 4.5 or something like that.
4.5 billion years old, right? But we've only been around like human existence, where it would look like it was habitable by like humans and dinosaurs or whatever, has been around for what? 2 billion years? A billion years?
I'm going to say dinosaurs were a couple hundred million years ago.
Oh, geez. All right. So now you've got this window of like 3 to 4 billion years of like an inhabitable world. Most of our Earth's life has been this like volcanic, like combustion, crazy, like hurricane, like when you see these other fucking Venus and all these other fucking places, it's just like, how could anything ever live there? They can't, right? No water. So the idea is, if an alien life or world had finally ventured trillions of thousands of light years out of their solar system, out of their galaxy, finally gotten to ours, the odds are that they saw our world and our surrounding worlds as inhabitable and no imaginable life could possibly exist on it. And then they just went on their way and continued throughout the endless galaxy into other galaxies. Like, we are just a speck of time in the cosmic calendar in which they would have to find us. It would be like finding a fucking hole, like a needle in a haystack to be able to fucking... We've been here for a cup of coffee. All right. And these
pretzels are making me thirsty.
They've been around forever, dude.
Yeah.
So that one always is like, you know what, man? We probably just missed them and they missed us because think about how long this actual planet's been around and how little we've had the technology to even know if someone is in the sky. It's been like what? 80 years or so, like even less. Like, we don't even know, like, we never even had the technology to know if anyone was looking outside of our fucking sky. So what the fuck do we think? How important do we think our lives are that we think they're going to come down in our 1 second of the cosmic universe? Come on.
It's the most rational. You have like math on your side in terms of chances of that happening. So I agree. I think it's the most rational argument against humans, you know, meeting aliens someday.
We also thought that like the sun was carried across the sky by a fucking chariot until a couple hundred years ago. Right. We were like,
right. You know, what was another one? Another great point you were saying was like, think about how far we've come in the last 150 years in terms of technology advances, everything, human advances, everything.
Last, like, 50 years. Yeah. But
last 50 years, last 20 years,
yeah,
whatever. And think about there's, you know, it could be other civilizations in another universe who have been doing this for 3 million years. Like, just imagine what this place is going to be like in 100 years. Like, think about the advances that are going to be made. And then you times that by 10,000 or 100,000. There's probably civilizations out there that are just so far advanced than us. It's just crazy to think about.
If someone else lives on another world in which it doesn't like destroy itself with like fucking volcanoes and comets, if they've been able to actually build upon their civilization for a number of years, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years or whatever it is, you're talking the advancements are something we can't even comprehend. Like, the word advancements probably doesn't even fucking like, they don't even have, they don't even speak. They just look at each other and things fucking pop up. The technology is something we can't even comprehend.
Yes. Because again, like take what we've done in 40, 50 years with the iPhones, if you took somebody from 150 years ago from the 1800s, which is that's yesterday. It's not that long ago. And you just place them at like an airport and they just saw fucking giant machines flying through the sky and shit. It'd be like, whoa, how did this happen? What is going on here? Now, I mean, if Earth's 4.5 billion years, if we've done that in the last 50, 100, couple hundred years, like you're saying, now just imagine like 10 million years from now, right? Like the dinosaur era, there, I'm looking up 245 million years ago to 66 million years ago. So those motherfuckers were around for almost 200 million years. Right. So now imagine if humans, like, imagine 100 million years from now, where we could be with technology. 100 million years? Like, what is that?
I don't want to think about that. I want to start screaming and crying. I do. I actually want to start screaming and crying right now because I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be dead by then, so I won't even see it. I won't even.
Super dead.
I'm going to be so dead. You'll be so dead in 100 million years. Dead.
Just dead.
I can't outrun death, man.
Just to bring this. Just to bring this sort of back to Earth, no pun, but Nate Bargatze put out a new special, our guy Nate.
I refuse to watch it.
What do you mean?
I refuse to watch it because you know why? You know why, dude? Because he's the funniest motherfucker that I've ever met or been around, and he's my favorite comedian or top two comedian of all time. He's probably my favorite comedian. I love Sebastian Maniscalco also. Louis C.K., before everything happened to him, he was one of my top favorites of all time. But listen, Nate, there's nothing better than going to a comedian's fucking show with their new material and seeing it for the first time live. And I want to go to a Nate Bargatze show so fucking badly, and I want to laugh to the point where I can't breathe anymore. And I feel like I'll lose that moment if I watch it on Netflix. I don't want to laugh in my room while I'm fucking soiling myself. I want to sit inside a comedy bar and watch Nate Bargatze do it live. What do you think about that?
You were kind of cutting out on my end, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying. I did watch it. I understand what you're saying. Like, seeing a comedian live is when it's like a night and you're like, all right, we're going to go to this specific venue and we're just going to laugh and laugh and laugh. Like, I've been to enough comedy shows where there's really nothing better than that when you're like doubled over laughing at a joke you had never heard before. Like, there's few experiences that are better than that, but I wanted to watch his new special so badly. Like, I feel like when the Tennessee Kid came out, from when that came out to when this one came out was so long, and I so badly wanted new Nate Bargatze material that I just had to watch it, and it's phenomenal. And the reason I bring it up during the alien conversation is because one of his early jokes in the special is about aliens and about how we're now finding out that aliens are probably around. I'm not going to do his joke, but everyone should watch it. He's just so effortlessly funny that he is, like you were saying, Frankie, he is easily one of my favorite comedians of all time. And if you don't want to wait, or if you can't wait, until you get to, you're able to see him live or he comes to your town, just watch the special on Netflix because it's super fucking fun.
Now the general public should not listen to what I'm doing. Like, it's on Netflix. You're going to watch it. Go watch it. Like, give the guy fucking views because he is going to be the most watched stand-up. That will be like the most watched stand-up special on Netflix going right now. People will go crazy for it. I heard John Feidelberg said it's like maybe the funniest special he's ever seen in his entire life. You are saying now you have rave reviews. I just personally know I will be going to a Nate Bargatze show because I want to see him that badly. I'm going to do everything I can to meet him somewhere in one of these towns. We all have to do it as a show because he wants us to go to a show. He's come on this show and he's like, you guys have to come to a show. And I want to experience that night seeing his new material for the first time. There's just something about him where I know that it would be so much better if I had never seen it before.
I'm very in with that take, Frankie, especially like that's, it's not the same thing. It's not because going to a show is way cooler, but generally, like, I don't like to know anything about a golf course before I show up. Right. And I like to see it. I don't want to do a flyover. I don't want to, like, when I walk up to a hole or drive a car up to a hole, I want to see it for the first time in real life and be like, holy fuck. So I'm into that. I'm going to try to restrain myself. It might be tough, but I'm into
that. Last
when
night
are we
going
to be able to go to shows? When are we going to be able to go to shows?
Last night I was hovering over the fucking Netflix thing. And it was like I was a drug addict. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't watch it. Because once you watch a second.
It's called The Greatest Average American for those if you're trying to look it up. But if you just look up
name.
It's a great name. I understand what you guys are saying. And we have to go to a show. Like you guys are saying, he wants us to come to a show. That'll be an awesome time. The Tennessee Kid, I've maybe watched, no joke, 30 times. It's just
that
so...
That came out in what, like 2018, 2017, maybe even earlier?
Probably 2018, I would 2018? Say. That'd be my best guess.
I've waited this long for new Nate Bargatze. I can wait another however long it's going to be so I can see him in person. It's one of my dreams to see him live. I had a dream to watch Louis C.K. live, and I drove to fucking like Virginia to go watch him and he had new stand-up at the time, and I remember I almost threw up in the seat. I was laughing so, like, I just want that moment again, so I need to do this.
Be any better live entertainment than a good comedian. Like, it is, no, because there's nothing better than laughing. Like, playoff hockey's awesome, good concert's awesome, but like when you're, as Trent said, just bellied over, like I've gone to a few Bill Burr shows and I just die, dude. I'm dying in my chair and I can barely breathe, and like that's the hardest part, is to get oxygen in your body to laugh again, because they're just so good.
Dude, pre-pandemic, when everyone was still doing shows, I had a ticket to a Nate Bargatze show that our guy Nate Dogg bought me. We were going to go to a show. I was going to go with him, John Feidelberg, and a couple other people from the office. And a golf trip, I can't remember which one it was, came up that we were going to film something, and I couldn't go. And I was like, oh, I'll just catch him the next time around New York City. And then the world fell apart. And I was just like, I was so close to going and seeing him live, doing likely some of the material that he put in this new special. And I just couldn't make the scheduling work. So I couldn't wait. I understand wanting to wait, but I simply could not.
You've got pent up Bargatze show excitement.
He's just so fucking funny.
So fucking funny.
His last show was going to be in Red Bank, New Jersey, in the Count Basie Theater, I think. When he was on our show, he was talking about how his last show was going to be in Jersey. And then the world shot and couldn't make it happen, obviously, but...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Okay. Austin, we got the match play this week again. Wednesday it starts and they do the pod thing. Kiz has a 14-5-2 all-time match play record, but I do not believe that includes the loss to the four-man scramble, which my friend Steve pointed out. So they might want to update that. But Kiz's record in match play, that's President's Cup, Ryder Cup. He hasn't been the Ryder Cup, but that's including like everybody's. And his record is like as good as anybody's, 14-5-2 in match play. So our guy Kiz, for whatever reason, can just bring it in match play. And like I mentioned earlier, watching Austin Country Club, the holes on this golf course, it's usually firm, fast. The ball usually rolls forever. And it's match play, so it's clearly different. It's a totally different look than we get week to week. There's March Madness going on, so you kind of get the bracketology and the mix going. Really, really fun tournament this week. And the last time that we'll see a lot of the big names before the Masters. And if you recall, when Tiger won the Masters, he had a good run at the Dell match play. He ended up beating Rory, I believe, Saturday morning when they went head-to-head. And that sort of, like, propelled him a couple weeks later. He went on and won the Masters. So this is, again, kind of the last test for a lot of the guys. And then the next tournament coming up in a couple of weeks is just the Masters tournament, which is amazing.
Yeah, you know I mean, oh, go ahead.
No, you fire it up.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that spending that much time around Kevin Kisner, like, you just, I'm not surprised by his record of match play. That's what I was going to say, where he's just, you just meet certain guys where you just know, like, Kevin, like, playing that round with him at Palmetto, that was really what drove it home, where I was like, oh, this guy, like, if you face him in match play, he's not like, da 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 da, like, out here for a nice little stroll on the golf course. He's no fucking bullshit, and he wants to rip your throat out. Like, I'm sure it ranges with everyone on tour, like, how cutthroat they are, how cutthroat they're not. And Kevin Kisner, like, seeing him at the top of one of those match play records, like, the least surprising thing in the world to me.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same point, except just the reason for that a little different. Like, he's a little shorter, so I feel like longer hitters feel like they have an advantage. But then he just gets up and down from everywhere, and that's got to be so frustrating to compete against, because his short game's so good that I feel like he limits so much damage that he could potentially take on. That, like if you're 30, 40 yards in front of him, and he's maybe doesn't hit one great on the neck, but still makes like a beautiful par. Like, that's got to be brutal to take. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, he is a guy that's dialed in. I don't think as much because of his talent, just because of his focus and commitment that makes him such a good golfer. So, yeah, it's a great putter event, and I can't wait to watch.
In match play, when you're a great putter, it's just hard. Like, you can't – you just – like, the guy doesn't give you many holes, even if he slaps it around a little bit or he didn't hit as far and missed a green. Like Lars was saying, like, he'll have 8 feet, 12 feet – jars it right in the heart, and you're just kind of like, well, fuck, I had the advantage that entire hole. And then when he does get hot again, he's a good putter, can make a lot of birdies. So and then I also think Kiz benefits, like, remember it was Kiz and Kuchar, I believe, in the final, and neither one of them is like a bomber, but I do think like they can get that, they can get it rolling out there at Austin, which I think kind of, you know, benefits, or at least it levels the playing field a little bit, because everybody can kind of hit it pretty far, just because it gets running. It's usually firm and fast. I haven't seen any like report on what it's going to be, but I just, every time I envision this tournament, I envision that hole where they hit it down that hill and it just bounces and rolls and it goes over that cart path and they're like 438 there. You're like, what the fuck? You did that far? So and then they have that awesome par four that's like maybe 14 or 15 in the back nine where they all drive it into the grandstands behind the green. So it's just fun. This tournament's very, very fun to watch, and I'm pretty excited. Brooks Koepka, it looks like Brooks Koepka had another surgery. He tweeted out yesterday, I believe it was, a bunch of pictures. Looks like a right kneecap dislocation and some ligament damage, which is not good. So he's been battling a knee injury. What is it, when he slipped on the concrete in like Japan or something like that, yeah, or Korea? Yeah.
Wasn't it the Zozo or something?
A couple years ago, maybe.
Wasn't that when Tiger won?
It might have been. I'm trying to remember, but it was during like that swing. I feel like that similar time. And ever since then, he's just been battling the injuries. It was a little bit of an interesting week where his brother Chase Koepka was kind of got hot. He got it. He Monday qualified into the event, started with a 69-69, nice, on a hard, you know, golf course. So he was right there. Brooks like tweeting about him. So it'd be, he's got a similar looking like action too. So seeing kind of the Koepka brothers maybe in there, it could be an interesting little wrinkle going forward.
Yeah. I didn't know
my internet keeps cutting out. So I don't know if you guys can hear me or not.
What?
We can hear you now too.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry. My internet, I keep staying on the screen. It's that funny, my internet connection is unstable office. And nothing. Yeah. I'm at a $500 million company and my internet doesn't But in terms of Koepka's injury, it really seems like they told him at some point along the line, we're just like, you can do this, this, and this as a remedy, or you can just bite the bullet and do the surgery. It seems like he went through every single remedy and none of it really worked. And he was finally like, all right, I'm going to have to get surgery on this knee, because he's been battling this injury for feels like 2 years now. So hopefully for the game of golf and for Brooks Koepka that this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to the closing point Trent? As internet comes up. Yeah.
Is that right, Fuck. Trent?
Fuck. Yeah.
That was a great point. Really, really well said, dude.
I actually think I made a pretty good point that no one will ever hear. So, am I back?
Yeah, you're kind of back.
You're kind of, but I don't trust it. Like, you could cut out any moment.
I think this surgery is going to finally put us on the right track. He probably tried everything under the sun to try and get this knee right and was like, I don't want to have surgery. He did them all. Now he's had the surgery, and we don't know if he's going to play in the Masters, but hopefully for Brooks Koepka and for the game of golf as a whole, that Brooks Koepka gets back to the old Brooks Koepka, that he's 100% and he starts playing well again, because it's a better sport. It's a better product with him in it.
Now, Lurch, you're holding up a thumbs up for Trent to see, right? Now, the problem is that if he loses connection, you're going to freeze on his end. So actually,
he could see us.
You holding up a thumbs up, and then if he does freeze, he'll actually stay with a thumbs up. So he'll think he's actually good.
It'd be a false thumbs up. It's a false thumbs up.
No, you know what he was doing at the end there that actually was helpful? He was going back and forth.
But he was lying. It wasn't really that bad.
No. But what I'm saying is if it freezes, then I know I'm dead. But if the thumb keeps moving back and forth, then I know I'm still connected.
Oh, all right. So then look at his fucking fan behind him or something.
That's a good point too.
It's a good point, Frank.
You ever see when helicopters and the camera that's filming them, they match up the shutter speed and they're just fucking floating.
Looks like Grand Theft Auto or something.
It's insane, dude. It's just
You're saying when it's at the propeller doesn't look like it's moving because it's matched.
Yeah. The propeller and the shutter speed of the camera are in sync. It's four propellers just there, and they're just fucking it's pretty cool, man. Someone just tweeted out a video of that a couple days ago, actually, or a week ago. I saw
Neil deGrasse Tyson put one out recently. I think
that fucking guy.
I don't want to get you on going on Neil.
Yeah.
But
you don't like that guy?
I do. He's whatever the term for opening your brain to seeing the world. He did that. Didn't enlighten me, but he opened up this door to me for forward thinking beyond our universe. I never knew any of this stuff existed until I listened to him on fucking Joe Rogan. And that moment has now propelled me into nonstop fear and thinking and wondering, which I don't think I needed. I don't know if anyone really needs, but then again, that's how you explore and that's how you advance as a civilization. You need people to talk about it and then people to get interested and then people to then do it.
Yep.
So I don't know. But also he talks that I agree with a lot of things he says because there's no way of fact checking him. So
right.
He's a only asshole where he's of course it's like this. It's like, all right, I'm going to send you out there and you fucking go look for yourself.
Well, there is a way to fact check him. You got to do the work. He's just done all the work that you don't want to do the work.
I mean, a lot of the stuff he says is his theories too, which is they don't know for sure that we're in these bubbles in a waterfall of galaxies. I don't know that for sure. And neither does he. And the way he talks is incredibly infuriating because
I would argue that he also doesn't talk in absolutes. I think he would admit that I don't totally know, but I've done enough research and I've done the work where I know he's not Frankie Borelli waking up going on a golf podcast, not having thought about it at all before. And then being I think this dude's wrong. He's his is an educated guess.
All right.
You don't even believe that.
Right.
It's cocky, but I listen to him.
I mean, it's it'd be like him with a hockey opinion. You see what I'm saying?
Islanders are a fucking wagon, man.
Come on, Jesus, buddy, get it together.
How about this?
undefeated.
I got a drop here in a minute.
Islanders are undefeated at home. They were 12-0-2. They lost two overtime games. I went to my first Islander game in fucking a year and a half, and they lost the game. The only loss they've had at the Coliseum. I was like sitting there just being like, you know what, man? Like, what? Why am I – like, I was fine the last year, and now I'm just mad. I'm like, I was excited to be there, and then I was just angry.
That's hey, boys, sports, it was though. A nice time spending an hour and a half with you, but I got to go, so hit it hard, and right. We'll talk in a couple days. Go Ohio.
It was a great time.
You got a name for us?
Go Bobcats.
Go Bobcats.
You got a YouTube name?
Me?
For no, people to the subscribe. Other fucking guy leaving to go sell drones.
let's go with, I hope Anders Lee gets healthy. So if your name's Anders out there, let's go ahead.
I can't imagine there's many of those. All right.
You never know. There was a couple Raphaels, or when I made a tennis reference, that reached out to me. It was like, look, now I have to subscribe.
If we're going to get everyone, we got to get all the names right. Like that.
Dude, I did Easton one time, and we got probably one subscriber from that, maybe.
There you go. See you, fellas.
Trent's actively looking at male names right now.
Producer Jake just sent me something that I did want to talk about. The short course, Tiger's short course at Pebble. I think the opening, it's going to open, what, April 12th or April 16th?
Looks awesome. Looks really awesome. New short course, par 3 course. They have a couple replica holes. A couple of the photos that they put up on the Pebble Beach accounts look phenomenally out like a putting course. So that's going to be a really cool addition to Pebble. And obviously it's got, Tiger and Tiger's design team. The Tiger course, I guess we've played two of them. Played Blue Jack with mm-hmm. Trent Daddy, and it was awesome. And then I played Payne's Valley, which is his new one, and it's awesome. So I'm expecting good things. Like I said, it looks beautiful.
So when we were out at Pebble just very recently, did we drive by the property? Because the property that we drove by and people were saying, hey, this is Tiger's short course, it just didn't look like it was that close to being done.
That was the property. So I played the driving range right there, and they had like fences around it, so it was kind of hard to see in there. That was it. And you're right. It didn't look like it was going to be ready in like a month, but apparently mid-April, that puppy's going to be open. People are going to be playing golf on there.
It looks a lot better in these pictures. So like the view that we had, I remember even saying to Trent, like, I'm like, there's nothing special about this place. Like we drove around like a green, and I'm like, that looks like Eisenhower Park. It was just a green and a fairway and a tee box. And it was just like nothing. There was no crazy, like when you walk up to the cradle. Yeah. The cradle's like, holy fuck me in the face type, like, wow, this is awesome. And when we were driving by, like, maybe it was just like the corner hole of that new Tiger Woods par 3 course, I was just like, there's nothing special about this. There was no trees in that area. It was just a green and a tee box. I'm like, dude, this thing can't even be close to being done. But now I'm looking at Pebble Beach Golf Resort's Instagram. And I mean, that's just a phenomenal, that's an awesome, awesome par 3 course. So I had a very, very bad angle of it. I mean, it's got to be like one of the best views too. Like you're up there on that hill overlooking that whole entire ocean area.
There's also, I think there was like an old hole because it used to be a tiny little short course that just they didn't like maintain and whatever. And I think that the one that maybe you guys are talking about was a hole from the old one that they just like didn't use or something.
100%.
I think you're right.
Yeah, because the new ones, like this bunkering and shit, like this looks insane. Like,
this is not what we saw.
Yeah,
that's what I think too.
I'm looking at the pictures of this, and it just looks like the best place in the world. So we definitely were not looking at the correct thing.
How about that fifth picture on that Instagram that we're probably all looking at? That little bowl, that little like punch bowl where the pin is. There's gonna be so many hole in ones there. It's gonna be so much fun.
Awesome. It looks like such a blast. Reminds me a little bit of the Sandbox out in Sand Valley has a green that looks like that, where it's just a funnel right in the middle. So yeah, it's any addition. We love par 3 courses. Frankie and I both have an ace, which is really cool.
Yes, sir.
But short courses, they deliver. They make places infinitely better. I think Pebble Beach needed it a little bit. Like, don't get me wrong, Pebble's awesome. They're not struggling. But tying everything together, the range, and kind of giving you something else to do outside of going and playing a U.S. Open course, Spyglass, which is even harder, or Spanish Bay, which is really hard too. You can kind of go mess around on the short course, have yourself a good time, or the putting course. So I think it'll be a really good addition to Pebble Beach, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. So that's awesome. This is March, if you didn't realize that. The greatest time of the year has begun. Keep the positive vibes going with every hoodie and tee you'll need this month while watching all of the games. Go to store.barstoolsports.com to shop all the various sayings to help you stay calm, think sharp, and don't panic. We've also got our spring line of a lot of our gear is now available, from underwear to hoodies to polos to awesome quarter zips. So do yourself a favor, go to store.barstoolsports.com. The foreplay link, the golf link has all of our stuff on it, but there's good stuff throughout the website. So go check it out.
Yeah, we're all wearing the hoodies right now.
Really good stuff. I wore to golf yesterday a palette of greens. I wore the new Peter Millar. It's got the little subtle fucking golf guy. It's got the Barstool logo. I think, is there a T on there maybe? There's like a bunch of different logos on there, and it's dark green with an even darker green logoing all over it. It's the most, it's the prettiest, coolest looking shirt that we sell. I swear to God, everyone was like, whoa. And then over that, I put the springtime lighter green quarter zip over that. And just like the two greens perfectly meshing together with like a white foreplay hat. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. We're looking good in this shit. We're looking really good in this shit.
It's sharp. It's just sharp stuff. It's springtime. It's time to get out and play a little golf. You want to be geared up. So go to store.barstoolsports.com. I'm going to call out anyone named Colin. I don't know if we've done Colin yet. If we have and you didn't subscribe, but your name's Colin, C-O-L-I-N-C-O-L-L-K-O-L. I don't really care if your name's Colin. Go subscribe. Go to Foreplay on YouTube and subscribe right now. It's a real shame that you haven't already. You've been missing stuff for years now. Years that you don't have to miss anymore. Your life will improve. Colin, go subscribe.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the name Oliver. And it's a strong name. It's a, why are you laughing, Trent?
It's like a funny name.
You know, the name Oliver has been in my head because the Islanders have this young guy, you know, 20-year-old Oliver Wahlstrom, and he's just come onto the scene and has been absolutely fucking nails for this hockey team. And you know what? Like Oliver Wahlstrom, is it Yarmouth, Maine? Is that how you say where he's from? Yarmouth? Yarmouth?
That's right.
Yarmouth.
Yarmouth.
So he's a Yarmouth-born, you know, American. He's 20 years old. His name is Oliver. If your name is Oliver and you're listening to Foreplay, I'm assuming that you haven't done as well as Oliver Wahlstrom, right? Like, he's in the Professional Hockey League. He's in the National Hockey League. He plays fucking hockey for a living. He makes a shit ton of money. He's going to be a superstar. And you are just Oliver. And you're listening to Foreplay, and you're fucking, you gotta do the yard tomorrow, and you gotta go do your taxes and all this stuff. You're in the same boat as me, Oliver. Me and you are out here grinding. We're grinding. And what you can do to better yourself, just as the men and women before you that we've called out on this very good show called Foreplay Golf, which on YouTube, there is a page called Foreplay Golf YouTube. You can go there, hit subscribe, and watch all the content that we put on there. We have TaylorMade series every single Tuesday. It's unbelievable. I mean, the videos are getting crazy amounts of views for the average that we're putting them out. We're putting them out every single week. We're clipping them like crazy. It's nuts. Those are doing well. We've got Behind the Greens coming out. Currently working on episode 2. Should be out within the next week or two. That's coming out. Then we've got Travel Series. Just filmed outrageously good videos out in Vegas. This is all stuff that hasn't even come out yet. Not to mention, if you want to go down a fucking rabbit hole, Oliver, all right? Your whole life you've been fucking made fun of because of that goddamn play. That stupid fucking play, Oliver Twist. And everyone's like, Oliver, excuse me, sir. Can I have some more? Can I have some more, Oliver? And everyone's like looking at you like, you want some more, Oliver? And you're like, I can't fucking take this name anymore. It's time to bring some respect to that name as your brother in Wahlstrom has done. So go subscribe.
The name that I'm going to call out is Nolan. The reason I'm calling out that name is because I Googled popular male names and I clicked on a link, and that is Nolan was the 65th most popular male baby name in 2019. So it's not in the top 10. It's not even in the top 50. But if your name is Nolan, please subscribe to the Foreplay YouTube channel. Something that Frankie left out is that is also where we do our streaming, where we do our 2K streams. And we haven't talked about this yet. That is where the Divot Derby now exists, and we now play in the Divot Derby. And it is one of the craziest fucking things we've ever done in our lives. 2K put out this new game mode called Divot Derby, and it's essentially a race each hole to see who can finish the hole first. And if you finish in the top 10, you move in, and then it's the top 8, it's the top 6. It doesn't matter how many strokes it takes. You just have to get in that hole as fast as possible. And we've done it once. We did it one time, and it is
– Trent won.
I did win. I won the Divot Derby one time.
He chipped in before the guy putt.
My life recently. I was the fastest golfer, Iowa Trent. But it's great. It's awesome the way they do it, too. You can see all the balls flying. Tensions get high when you start putting on the green. You see all these balls starting to go in, and the slots are going away. And the 4Play YouTube channel, Nolan, is where we do all of these streams. If you subscribe, you will get an alert every time we go live. And we go live pretty frequently. It's a couple times a week we try to do it, and it's just – it's incredible. And all the other stuff that the other guys mentioned. We just had Colin Morikawa in the One Club Challenge. He uses 60 degree. Phenomenal video. Everything on there is great. So, Nolan, please subscribe to the 4Play YouTube channel. You will not be disappointed. I promise you.
All right. I love it.
Divot Derby is electric, dude. It's absolutely fucking electric.
It looks awesome. All the balls raining on the green is like stressful watching it on Twitter.
Trent, like, chipped in, and then like that guy was like putting, so like that ball is traveling, and like his got in first, like game over. It's just,
dude, rigged. So the 18th hole, it comes down to, it's just two people. No, like when you start on the first hole, there's like 1,000 balls, and you're like, oh fuck, I gotta get in. And then the last hole is the 18th or the ninth hole of the 18th hole. You do 9 holes, and it's you versus one other person. And I hit the best drive of my life, and then I just chipped in off. I just chipped in, and it's like, it was the best moment of my life, dude. It was so fucking awesome. It's so much. It's such a good idea. Like, shout out to 2K for the Divot Derby idea. That's phenomenal.
The only thing we need to change is that we need to be able, because us specifically, we get so many people that watch our streams. We need to be able to get like our 20 people in one room, like our 20 fans or whatever. Because that's where, like, I need like more capabilities of getting in parties and stuff. Because I didn't like the fact that we couldn't get the people that we want in. But because it's that good. It's that good of a thing that I want to play with like 20 people that I know.
Well, people can subscribe to our YouTube page, and that's where we're going to be doing streaming, 2K, Divot Derby, all kinds of good stuff. So enjoy. I hope you enjoyed the show. Big thanks to Jake and Bug behind the scenes, as always. We will be back on Thursday, which we'll actually have golf to talk about. That's very rare. Usually when we post a podcast, it's the golf tournament hasn't started yet. We'll have a full day of match play to talk about and break down. So we'll be back on Thursday. Thank you very much. Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.